This cult, by the way, if you look at the other Gospels, the Synoptic Gospels, is actually there were two animals there. One was a donkey, and one was the colt, the foal of a donkey. So they were both donkeys in a sense, but one was like more of an adult donkey. This was more of a colt donkey. And they go and they get this thing like Jesus told them to do. And so, my fellow donkeys, I want you to see what kind of good company you're in. Now, this was not a famous donkey. This was not the donkey from Shrek. Okay? This was not Balaam's donkey. Yeah, donkey. This was just a donkey. And the first thing I noticed about this donkey is that he was a donkey on which no one had sat. He'd never been used before. Didn't have any experience. Didn't even know what it was like for someone to sit on him, to feel what that's like. Yeah. Some of you know what that's like. You got these mean older brother or, you know, an older sister or something. It was a colt on which no one had ever sat. It had never been used by anyone before. Inexperienced, green. I doubt it had any training. And maybe it was even a little bit too young. Maybe you feel like, you know, I just don't know. I'm not that old. I'm not that experienced. How could God use me? I'm just a teenager. I'm barely in high school, barely got out of high school, and you know, what life experience do I have? How could I possibly be used? You know, it was amazing to me at that conference when they commissioned these 60 or so young people that they were actually going out to places like Yale to share the gospel. Because it's really not an intellectual debate that wins the heart. And I'm all for intellectual debates. I think they do sometimes more for the body of Christ to strengthen us in our own faith. Some people are won by intellectual debates. I heard of a famous atheist recently who actually read some writings by a famous apologist and decided that the guy made sense. And yes, he decided that Jesus was Lord. And that's a wonderful thing. But that doesn't exclude us from sharing Christ with anybody. We shouldn't have to be afraid. Oh, I'm so young and inexperienced. How could I ever make an impression? How could I ever say the right words? Let me encourage you today. You might be just the person God is looking for. Open your mouth and God will give you the words. Don't be afraid. It's not you anyway. It's not you anyway. Here's this donkey. No one had ever sat on it before. He'd never been used. He was a colt, so he was young. Maybe he felt inexperienced. He felt like, wow, I just don't know. I just feel I don't have any track record to go by to strengthen my courage, to kind of build up my faith. Maybe I don't know enough. Maybe I'm unqualified. Please don't ever let that discourage you. That's some of the most amazing people in the world have been used by God without a lot of experience and without a lot of training. In fact, Paul told Timothy, let no one despise your youth. He wasn't referring to his youth group. He was referring to him. Don't let anybody despise your youth, man. Stand up for them people. No. He was saying, Timothy, I know you're a young guy. Don't let anybody diss you about that. Don't let them do it. Because you're my man for the hour. Praise God. So he was a donkey on which no one had ever sat. Let's look at some more about this donkey. He was tied up. Had a rope around him, tied off. You ever feel that way? Maybe you don't feel like, well, you know, I couldn't be used by God. Maybe you feel like, well, you know what, I think I could be used by God. But I just don't know. I'm waiting for him to open that door, and it's been so long, and I wonder, Lord, are you ever going to use me? Where do I fit? I mean, I'm chomping at the bit. I feel this fire inside. I go to church and I get all fired up. I get all excited. Man, I want to do something. And I'm waiting for that door to open. And God, it just never seems to be there. Or every time I try, I seem to be blocked on this side or blocked on that side or blocked on the other side. And I feel so tied up. Ever feel that way? When are you going to open the door, Lord? I'm knocking. We were driving to Delaware the other day, Missy and I, and we had so much to do that day, so we were kind of in a hurry. And you know what happens when you're in a hurry, don't you? Everybody drives the speed limit, you know. People become model citizens all of a sudden, right in front of you. Or worse, you run into these roadblocks. We're going down the road. We're heading towards Henderson, and there's some, I even forget what it was, some kind of roadblock or something. We had to wait, for this thing to get out of the way, and that put us behind. So we get past that. We go a little further, and all of a sudden the road is like completely shut off. They got a detour. So we go down the detour. It's a bumpy road. And, you know, you get off. It's down by Beetree Road. You get off of that road into the countryside, who knows where you wind up. I have never been there. I don't know. So we're, you know, going, following this detour around. It's taking us way down this way and way down this way and then way all the way back again. And finally, we see the road. What is that? Two. Thank you. Yes. Yes. What Mark said. We see it coming up. We're like, oh, good. Here it comes. Finally, we can get off of this thing. We come to it. We turn right. And as we turn right, you know, about 50 feet down the road, what do we find but a John Deere tractor and a car, a spotter car behind it, halfway on the road and halfway on the shoulder, blocking it to make sure nobody tries to pass the John Deere tractor. The John Deere tractor is going all of 15 miles an hour, maybe 20 when the wind blew. And I'm just like, ah! You ever feel that way? You're chomping. You can taste, you know, you're going for this thing and you can almost taste it. But it seems like everywhere you turn, the road is blocked. And it's just like, man. You're in good company. Here's a donkey. Hadn't been used yet. And even if he could be used, he's tied up. Got a rope around him. Can't go nowhere. Tied off. He might pull. He might strain. He might stamp his feet and get frustrated. He might kick and spit and hee-haw, I guess, whatever donkeys, bray. Yeah. Y'all Western folk know about those things. I'm from the suburbs of Annapolis originally. You know, forgive me. But we never had a donkey. Biggest thing we had was Great Danes behind us. Anyway, you know, wow. Maybe you've tried before and you've been turned down. Maybe you tried several times and got rejected over and over and over. And you just feel like, well, why try anymore? Every time I try, somebody says no. I guess I really am not qualified. God could never use me. I might as well not even attempt anymore. Every time I try, I get turned down. I get rejected. And I just don't want an attitude anymore. And I could do a sermon on rejection. I mean, you know. But then again, in the kingdom of God, sometimes timing is everything. And sometimes God has put this desire in your heart. In fact, He has kindled a fire inside of it and underneath of it. And it is burning hot within your breast so much that you can just taste this thing. You dream about it. You think about it. You talk about it. You live and breathe and eat this thing. And you know it's from God. But you know, timing is so critical in the kingdom of God. To everything, there's a season. And here we have this donkey, that God has ordained from the foundation of the world for a purpose. God knew before He even spoke that first word, let there be light, He knew that there would be a donkey. Before He put the planets and the stars into place and the comets and the galaxies and the, you know, all that space stuff, CJ. Before He flung any of that into the universe, He knew and had ordained that there would be a donkey. knew just where he'd put him, knew just when he would bring him into the world, made sure nobody sat on him before. Because actually, in many, you know, when you have something for sacred use, a beast for sacred use, oftentimes they wanted someone that's never been used before, either to ride upon or been used carrying burdens and stuff. In fact, the red heifer that they used for the ashes of the red heifer in the sacrificial system in the Old Testament was a heifer that could not have been used before in any way. So it was symbolism there. It was talking about the consecration of this donkey from before the foundation of the world for the use of God. Only today, he may not have been sat on before. He may have been tied up at that moment, but for today, the season had arrived. God's appointed time. God's appointed time had come. Say that with me. God's appointed time had come. Do you know God has a appointed time for you, for seasons in your life? He has ordered your life and orders your life. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And sometimes because we have this vision burning inside of us, we just dream and ache for that thing to come to pass. You can imagine Joseph, who had those dreams where God said, your brothers are going to bow down to you, your parents are going to bow down to you. How that must have burned inside of him when he was in that pit and wondered, Lord, I don't get it. You put this fire inside of me and now I'm in a pit. I'm being sold into slavery. And then as he rose into the position of prominence in Potiphar's house, he probably thought, oh, here it comes. Here it comes. I can sense it now. Yeah, this is my day. Day to go to jail on false charges. And how he must have said, God, I don't get it. I could swear this was you. Everything inside of me tells me that dream was from you. That this is my destiny, that you have a calling on my life. So he spends 2 years in jail and rises to prominence in the jail. Things are going well. He's second in command over the criminal justice system of Egypt, which today might not be such a good thing, but back then it was pretty good. And all of a sudden, these guys have dreams. I'm sorry, yeah. And he's able to interpret the dream for these guys. And they're in the service of Pharaoh, and they go back in, and you know, he interprets the dreams, and they go back into Pharaoh's service, and he tells the one guy, hey, you know, remember me when? Mention my name. Here's my card, Joseph. Second in command of the criminal justice system. And what happens? The guy forgot. Totally forgot about him. Left him behind. Left him rotten and sitting in that prison. How that vision must have burned. But you know, God had an appointed time for Joseph, didn't he? He really did. God has an appointed time for you. To bring you forth, as it were. But you know, during that time, while you're tied up to that stake, braying and scratching and rubbing against the tree and wondering why nobody ever wants to sit on you, God is molding you. You are in a process of preparation. He is molding you into the person that you are going to be to fulfill that calling that He has declared over your life. Don't despise that time. Don't let that make you become bitter. Don't let that make you get discouraged about what He has for you.